So it was kind of one off, and then I was at the July 20th Department of Health meeting, 2009.
I recall that one. That was my first one.
Yeah. And it was the first one I'd been to. I'd been kind of paying attention to it by this point. And I planned, because you remember it got like rescheduled three times, supposed to be at the beginning of the year. But I was there, and I remember being so overwhelmed.
That was the one where I feel like I had to wait till like 4:30 to get my chance to say anything, and by then it was like such a moot point.
Yeah, I was probably closer to 8. I was like, I think my number was from the low thousands.
Yeah.
1,000 single digits or something. And it passed. Bruce Granger was there, owner of Kind Love. He was kicking the tires. That was the first, like, not friend or friend of friend I ever said, my name's Matt Brown, I'm a cannabis consultant too. And I've known him ever since. Rhett Jordan, I incorporated him, Native Roots Downtown. By the end of that year...
I mean, those two are some of, you know, because this article is going to get read by people all over. Those are definitely two of the biggest in Denver.
Yeah.
You know, of the non-chain ones, of the single-store ones, I would say they are the two that come to mind. If people are like, what are two dispensaries I can go to that are not shit?
Right. You know, Andrew Boyens the one right above Sonoda on Market Street. 15th of Market.
I don't really know the Denver.
Natty Rems.
Oh, yeah, Natty Rems is the third
Rems,
one. Yeah,
that was my first outside incorporation. I went to his house, his dad was in a neck brace, and, like, sat down with his parents. We did the board meeting. Because what I figured out my niche was, from July 20th through the end of October when I shut it down to start CMMR, people would come in, they'd pay me consulting, I would explain the law to them. I would take where Warren left off. Warren would scare the crap out of them with the law.
Well, that's his job as an attorney.
Is what it isn't, exactly.
Yeah.
And then he said, you know, there's nothing preventing a for-profit business, the way California did. But he wasn't a business attorney.
Right, he was a criminal attorney.
Really,
yeah.
And there was no checklist. There, you know, a lot of these people wanted the same kind of guidance that you can get from somewhere. If you want to open up a Subway franchise or a clothing store or whatever, there's like a checklist.
Right. This is what you need. Get this. This is where to order your display cases. This is where to order your jars.
And here's what the government expects. Sales tax license, you have to pay on the
state. Oh, for sure. What documents do you have to file? Yeah, like, right. Secretary of State, go IRS, yeah.
I figured out classification to get people sales tax IDs when the city of Denver was still, there was one clerk in the office who was denying them. And I came up with like a herbal supplement and something.
As far as I know,
I was the one who read the zoning code and found out about the plant husbandry license, because I remember going to Warren asking about it. The definition said a license to take seedlings or cuttings and start new plants. And there were over 100 plant husbandry marijuana licenses issued by Denver before the city council found out that they were issuing them at all.
And then they didn't revoke them, of course.
And that was what helped, was we had this inertia by the time government figured out what was going on. That led to end of October, Josh and Wanda and a group of people asked me to start this group and to go lobby for us. The legislature is going to start in January.
Which group was it?
Coloradans for Medical Marijuana Regulation.
Okay.
CMMR. And we have 4 lobbyists, 2 Democrats, 2 Republicans. This was the first time openly and publicly we all used the term the marijuana industry.
Yeah.
And that was, I viewed myself as probably more like Frank Luntz than anything. That it was to set the language and the context that we were talking about, and to sort of shape those legislators, me, Romer, Massey, and Matt Cook, in the early days, figuring out where, you know, the structure, the scaffolding of the law. And so that was when I first became known, you know, within the industry. It was November 2009, I went full-time. And from then through May, that was my full-time job. I got up in the morning and usually there was a call from Michael Roberts, like 6:45 in the morning.
From the Westwood Reporter? Yeah.
I mean, House Bill 1284, that was my baby.
Yeah.
My 6 months.
I remember the first time I met you was when I hit up Ian Silveri who was my friend who worked at the Capitol.
Yep.
And I was like, dude, there's all these different fucking splinter groups. Everyone needs to come together and at least sit around the same table, and people need to figure out who's playing with who.
That was the moment when I gained legitimacy in the eyes of, and certainly Fuffy, who was where Ian worked, and with the legislature. She had arranged a meeting with Romer. This was before Massey came on board with that bill. And Romer was going to be there, and they wanted, quote-unquote, all the groups in the room.
Right. I feel like that meeting was somehow like this...
It was a seminal moment.
Yeah, not a tipping point, but a seminal moment indeed.
It was a seminal moment in that that was when... For me, that was the turning point when I started getting the calls from Chris Romer's personal cell phone and his personal Gmail account saying, Matt, I need your help.
Right.
That was when I became... They knew I was going to play ball. That's how I would put it more than anything. I was going to be the one that would...
It was a moment where... In my opinion, it's what made the progress we made so quick possible. It was a pull away from the, like, reactionary sort of all-or-none approach. And, you know, there's still people who criticize it, and they're... And, you know, I respect them for their integrity.
And a lot of my most vocal critics at the time have been able to come around, like Miguel Lopez.
Yeah.
I was banned from the 420...
Yeah, Miguel Lopez is 420, clearly very vocally opposed.
And he and I, over the last year and a half since I moved back from Vancouver, have been very good friends. Well, I mean, we don't hang out all the time, but, like... We had a making-up moment. We talked directly, and it, with a little bit of time and a little context to how it all came together, both are in agreement. I've often said, from that time, the one thing that helped me and my voice, by extension, the CMMR, the moderate voice in 1284, to exist, to win, and I did not realize at the time, it was very personal and painful at the time, was we had the Miguel and the Kathleen Shippies and the Laura Creole, and we had that wing, which in the mind of the legislature became equal and opposite to the cops and the Attorney General and all
right,
of that
apparatus. Right, completely opposite of the law and order.
And they both just faded away in like a movie moment of just complete irrelevance.
They balanced each other out, right?
That like, person who was in between the two.
Yeah.
And they never really, you know, Romer, Massey, whomever, never really stopped and seemed to step back and fully appreciate that I was... a half a step inside of so many of those people.
Right.
Even if there was some horse trading that had to be done, and, you know, the vertical integration was my term. I applied it to what at the time was just called, you gotta grow your own.
And now I gotta say, vertical integration, that's still a hotly contested issue in some
absolutely.
Parties. And that's a matter of pure economics. The people and who are opposed to it lost a livelihood.
Yes. And, you know, what I think was underappreciated at the time was the point of view that I lobbied from. Which was, as a patient first, who had had a seat helping people figure out and to define our industry as a Colorado industry, which by definition was a 2.0 California. It
right.
was different.
It was not it the was, same, for sure. We weren't doing the same thing
it
again.
It was a graduation. It was the next step.
Right.
And there was
that evolution
feeling from the very beginning, yeah, that this was big. And, you know, there was, like, weight on what we